in the Arvut system as well as on Zvatova. We are in the introduction to the book of Zohar.
Hakdama leSefer HaZohar. Ot Alef.
Okay, we have the wrong study material. We'll start again. Introduction to the book of Zohar. I would like to begin with everything.
In this introduction, I would like to clarify matters that are seemingly simple, matters that everyone fumbles with and for which much ink has been spilled, attempting to clarify, yet we have not reached a concrete and sufficient knowledge of them.
Question number one. What is our essence? Question number two. What is our role in the long chain of reality of which we are but small links? Question number three. When we examine ourselves, we find that we are so corrupted and low, and there is nothing more contemptible than us. And when we examine the operator who made us, we are compelled to be at the highest degree. For there is none so praiseworthy as him. For it is necessary that only perfect operations will stem from a perfect operator. Our mind asserts that he is the good who does good, and there is nothing higher than him. How then did he create so many creatures that suffer and agonize all through their lives? Is it not the way of the good to do good? Or at least not to do so much harm?
Hey.
Five. How is it possible that the infinite, who has neither a beginning nor end, will produce finite, mortal, and flawed creatures?
Then all of his actions are complete.
So we start our inquiry from a starting point that the operator is whole?
Yes.
Why is he complete? Why is he whole?
Because this is how we received it. We will be able to attain it in actuality only at the end of creation, in the goal. But in the meantime, we trust the Kabbalists who tell us that the Creator is good and doing good, there is no flaw in him, and therefore it's not for everyone or anyone that he can cause any flaw, any detriment. And so all of his actions are complete and good. This, for the time being, is our assumption, because we cannot attain it in our senses, in our vessels, but this is what Kabbalists say, that we have to accept that for the time being.
Somebody else there?
Yes.
Good
morning. Those same Kabbalists say that the Zohar has the greatest light for our correction. It came exactly for this time. And the question is, why do we need the introduction? Why? Because we read it already many times. So the question is, with what intention actually to read this introduction?
anything that we get, we have to get that gift, seemingly this giving, with a certain calculation of what is it that I want out of it, whom does it come from, and which desire precisely inside of me receives it, and what connection exists between me and him, between a person and the Creator, so that through the connection between us, when something comes to me, it's already a connection, right? So from the very first moment when this becomes connected to me, this message from above, what is my role in how should I respond? How do I change myself in order to receive this thing that is given to me in the right way? Will attain these things.
He
continues and writes that you cannot understand a thing in the middle of its work, only in the end. So what is that end that you want, that you're focused on and you're doing everything in relation to it? What is the end of the act that you're investigating towards?
The end of the act is the world in which the corrected souls exist, that have between them such familiarity, such relations, that in such a way they can contain the entire light of Ein Sof and exist.
The perception of the creature, of the creating being?
Yes.
Does creation exist only according to the perception of the creature and not the creator?
Well, I don't know. We will see. We don't know. We just read what happened in the beginning. And now we need to scrutinize in what relations the created beings exist and how do they respond to the upper force that wants to bring them to the end of creation. And along the way, how does each one of them change, mostly connect to the other parts in creation? And in this way, how they influence each other. Okay, let's go.
Item 8. Now we have come to understand the words of the Kabbalists in the third inquiry. We wondered how it was possible to say about the souls that they were a part of God from above, like a stone that is carved from a mountain, that there is no difference between them except that one is a part and the other is the whole. And we wondered, it is one thing to say that the stone that is carved from the mountain becomes separated by an axe made for that purpose, but how can you say this about his essence? And also, what was it that separated the souls from his essence and excluded them from the Creator to become creatures? From the above, we can clearly understand that as the axe cuts and splits a physical object in two, the disparity of form divides the spiritual into two. For example, when two people love one another, you say that they are attached to one another as one body. And when they hate one another, you say that they are as far from one another as the east from the west.
ואין כאן עניין של קרבת מקום או ריחוק מקום.
But there is no issue of nearness or remoteness of location here. Rather, it implies equivalence of form. When they are equal in form, and one loves what the other loves, and hates what the other hates, they love one another and are attached to one another. And if there is some disparity of form between them, and one of them likes something that the other hates, to the extent that they differ in form, they become distant, hateful of one another. And if, for example, they are opposite in form, meaning where everything that one likes, the other hates, and everything the other hates is liked by the first, they are regarded as remote as the east from the west, meaning from one end to the other.
Otet.
Item 9.
Any questions? What?
This explanation of through two people to explain the law of equivalence of form, I have a comment here from a few years ago that we have to hear the article and build everything inside the 10. To try, how do we come to such a state that everything that my friends love, I also love, and what they hate, I hate? How do we implement such a matter?
Through the reforming light.
Excellent. Also in the preparation, we talked about the reforming light. And we know that during the study, what is this thing exactly of the reforming light? What does it take? What does it move? There's some force that moves something. It moves it from some place that's good or what's bad. What is this reforming life?
It moves inside of us our desires and thoughts and guidelines, everything that exists inside of us, so that from that we can understand that we become more and more compatible, equal to each other.
We need to see before that we're not in equivalence. Because if someone comes and says, hey, what's going on? Everything okay? There's no reason to move.
Well, we are talking about the fact that we're getting closer during this work.
We need to ask from the lesson, from the study, from our friends to come and connect and bring us closer.
Yes.
To come to a state where everything he hates, I hate, everything he loves, I love.
Yes.
What is good about that state? Why is this called reforming?
By this, we become one.
And what's good about that? Why is that good?
The whole of creation, in the end, should reach, if it reaches it, it will truly become one body, one desire, and one creator will be revealed in them. This is called the end of correction.
That's what you answered, Rui and Gilad, about the end of an act? That's where we have to go to?
Well, let's say so. PT 22, they're asking, what is this inquiry or the commandment? Know the Lord of your father and serve him.
That's what is written by the sages from thousands of years ago, that what we need to reach to come to the knowledge of the Creator, to know what He wants, and we need, in every place that we are, to come closer to that form, to resemble it. So that from it we will know the Creator and be like Him.
אז יוצא מפה שכל אחד יאהוב את הבורא אחרת? כל אחד יהיה לו...
So it turns out that each one is going to love the Creator in a different way.
גם עכשיו?
Yes, also now. Each of us expresses his attitude differently towards the world, towards the friend, towards food, towards everything, towards each and every one. In this, we cannot be like one.
What one is going to love more, the other will love less, or what?
There will also be a differentiation, yes? According to the soul, according to the internality. Each of us has different desires somewhat. And then one's intentions are different as well.
So, how do I compliment the friend? I mean, I'm supposed to help him also, no?
That's something we will learn, how I complete him. You're right. There are many questions here of how we will get there. It's okay so far.
Спасибо. Учитель, чему мы должны научиться от Байсулама из предисловия?
Thank you, teacher. What should we learn from Balasulam, from the reading of this introduction?
We need to adhere as much as possible to the text that we're reading, which is the text of Balasulam, and for us to want to understand it, feel it, adhere to him, both to the text and through it, to the man who authored the text. This is what we need for the time being.
No, no. Almata.
Yes, well, Almata.
You said that we started reading the introductions. What's common to all of the introductions? What unifies the introductions?
We now are already in a very special state towards our corrections. And that's why it's worthwhile for us now to once more go over several introductions. It could be that it won't be all of them, in order to see how the form of connection between us together is necessary from the foundation of the wisdom of Kabbalah.
Rav, what actually is this this axe? What is its function?
The force that separates is disparity of form that there is in each and every desire, by which each desire is differentiated from the rest of the desires and exists on its own.
Mm-hmm. And what is the difference between, let's say, the qualities of the mountain and the stone?
The mountain includes many stones, many parts, and is connected to them by them, made up to become a mountain by them. That's why the mountain includes, is incorporated by many, many rocks, many stones. But we need to take each and every rock and differentiate it from the mountain, correct it in relation to the Creator, in order to bestow, and then to bring forth the matter of all the rocks to connect together again.
Yeah, and how can we let's say get the force that is let's say against the force of the axe? What is needed there?
I didn't understand.
Where can we get a force with whose help we'll be able to overcome the separating force, the force of the axe that separated us? What will give us the power to overcome this axe?
When we receive it from, for us to receive it from above, it's the force that created all of creation. And then divided it into many pieces and arranged them according to sparks, records, and all kinds of parts. But we need to turn to that same one force that created the world to connect us together. And then, to the extent in which we do that, we come closer.
Thank you, Rav. A question from the 10. Baal Sulam refers to created beings as existence from absence, but also says that the souls are part of the Creator, separated from Him in form. Which aspect of created beings exists from absence, and which originates from Him? What's the difference between them?
Again?
He says that on one hand, Baal HaSulam speaks about the created beings as existence from absence, something that didn't exist before. On the other hand, he says the soul is a part of God above, something that does exist. So, purportedly, it seems like a contradiction. So, how to relate to these things correctly?
Because this is truly how the created beings build a vessel of themselves that becomes eternal like the Creator, and according to His qualities, also want to be as the Creator, bestowing, and then they reach adhesion between them. And that is the correct ending for everything. Even though in that ending, all the parts of the created beings, according to their own nature, they supposedly aren't suitable to one another. On the contrary, they have a contradiction between them. But according to the correction, they become as one, because they have a restriction, screen, and reflected light. And from the reflected light of each and every one, they connect and reach the general reflected light, which will be completely equal to the light of the Creator that bestows upon them. And then the created beings and the Creator become as one, similar to one another completely.
He's asking, why did the architect created opposites while at the same time all created beings look for pleasure?
Again?
Why did the architect created opposites, things that are opposite from one another, and at the same time, we're all looking for pleasure?
If we connect from the oppositeness between us, we can measure and value as much as this oppositeness that we're correcting now, it brings us a big profit, an exalted state. And as much as we, from the oppositeness of form, we come to resemble the Creator. That's why it was done in such a way, meaning the Creator to begin with created a creation that is completely opposite of Him, in order for each and every detail in creation will feel that He is completely opposite of the Creator, and what He has to do in order to resemble the Creator, also in His part, and also in the collective part. Then it turns out that all of creation, till its last final part, understand and attain where they are, as much as they are opposite, and how they can reach equivalence.
Shalom, shalom, Rav. Almarsu,
hello, Rav.
Neyi aldığıma dair kafam karışıyor. İhsan etmek için Yaradan'dan isteyebilirim.
When I think about the will to receive, it's not clear to me what I am receiving. What are the things I can ask of the Creator to give me?
What was the question?
When I think about the will to receive, it's not quite clear to me what I am receiving. So what are the things I can ask of the Creator to give me?
מה הדברים שיכולה לבקש מהבורא שישפיע לה?
What are the things she can ask the Creator to give her?
While she is receiving.
Yes. What can she ask of the Creator?
את היית בחיבור עם אחרים.
You were in connection with others. You activated the common desire between us. You turned to the Creator with that common desire, and now you receive in that desire. Now you're asking what you can ask for that desire? I don't understand.
If she is a will to receive,
yeah,
then what can she receive? What can she ask of the Creator who will give it to her and she will receive?
But what did she do before that?
Yes. Can I explain the question?
Yes.
To bestow upon my friends, what can I ask of the Creator?
Have a desire to bestow to them a deficiency, and that you'll have an ability to bring them light from the Creator to the friends, that then they will want to receive. That's what you need. Here, you actually need to do two actions. One is to bestow to your friends a deficiency. And the second, into that deficiency, you bring a filling from the Creator.
Good
morning. What signs did the Creator leave in the strike of the axe so we can adhere to Him again?
We feel ourselves separated from the Creator. And that blow, that's a record, the Rishimo we have. Now that is what we are implementing right now. From here and on, we're turning to the Creator, that He will strengthen the connection between us. And from that connection, we can start working.
Woman help one.
Thank you, Rav. I can't understand. If we were carved from the same mountain, how come we are so different from one another?
We, each one of us, in their foundation, are completely different from one another. So we all reach one record, one Rishimo from very different records. But when we connect, we perform this unity. This unity connects us. Then we connect through some intention which is more than us, broader, more external. In this way, we build the connection between us. That's it.
Yes, but from where did the differences come? If I cut bread now, for example, the slices will be similar, maybe different in form, but the same composition. In us, every discernment is like from a different world. Where does it come from?
We are all incorporated from those sfirot, but each and every one is activated from a different sfira from those ten. That's why we are. We also look different, we also work in a different way, where each one is different than the other.
And before that, everything was connected in one soul?
Before everything was connected in one soul, because we were all under that one light, one umbrella, and that light was closed us together, and under its great, powerful, unified influence, it would annul all of our desires that contradict each other, and He would bring us into unity. But unity on His behalf and not by us. And then there was the shattering, and now we need to come out of this shattering and bring ourselves to that unity, but through our powers.
So what are we correcting now?
We are correcting the separation, the shattering.
How is it possible to correct the shattering? Is it something internal?
Listen and you'll understand.
Thank you.
PT39.
Hello, Rav. If one loves what one's friend loves and hates what one's friend hates, is this a result from them loving one another? Or is the love the result of hating what his friend hates and loving what his friend loves?
No, first you love and hate exactly as the friend, and that brings to love. That brings to equivalence of.
And in the writings of Rabash, what is the importance of the groom that his iniquities are forgiven?
Chazal amru,
Our sages said, three are forgiven their iniquities. A Gentile who converted, one who becomes great, and one who marries a woman. From this we learn that this is why she is called Machalat, since his iniquities nimchalu, have been forgiven. Conversely, in the portion Vaishlach, she is called Bosmat, daughter of Ishmael, presented in Rashi. This verse requires explanation. Our sages tell us that forgiving the iniquities of the groom on his wedding day comes from Esav, who took the daughter of Ishmael, whose name was Bosmat, daughter of Ishmael. Since it is written in the portion Toldot, Esav went to Ishmael and took Machalat, the daughter of Ishmael, it is an evidence that on his wedding day, the groom is forgiven his iniquities. It follows that we learn this entire basis from wicked Esav, who took the daughter of wicked Ishmael. This is difficult to understand. After all, what is a wicked one? It is one who says that there are no sins in the world, and he can do what his heart desires, because a wicked one believes in nothing.
Thus,
the wicked one says that he never sins. Therefore, why does he need his iniquities forgiven? Is a person given that which he does not want? After all, there is no light without a kli, a vessel, no filling without a lack. It is even more difficult to understand what is the real reason that he deserves absolution. What is his privilege? Is it because he took a wife that he deserves his iniquities forgiven? It makes sense that one who does a great deed, which we cannot appreciate the importance of the matter, then we understand that he deserves a great reward for this, to the point of absolving his iniquities. But what great thing did he do by taking a wife? Also, we see that saying a litany is a great thing. There is the matter of 13 qualities there, as well as kneeling. But if there is a groom in the synagogue, we do not say the litany. We should understand the importance of taking a wife, that all 7 days of the seven blessings, it has the power to cancel a prayer, which is so important, because he took a woman who is now called a bride. There are many explanations in the literal, but we should interpret this in the work. What does it come to teach us? The wicked Esav is when a person has realized that the bad thing in the world, which prevents all created beings from achieving the delight and pleasure for which the world was created, which is the meaning of bad, has become in him as a sav, from the word asiya, doing.
Milshon asiya.
His evil has been completed with clear knowledge that it is the will to receive for himself. At that time comes the order of turn away from evil, meaning that before a person knows that the will to receive is called bad, it is impossible to turn away from it and not listen to it. Afterward begins the matter of and do good. Do good means assuming the burden of the kingdom of heaven. However, a person cannot be rewarded with the quality of a woman who fears God. Rather, a person must receive this from above. As it is written, he who comes to purify is aided. The Zohar says that he is given a soul, and this is the assistance that a person receives. It follows that this soul was born by the Creator hearing him when he came to purify. This soul is called a daughter, which was born out of the Creator hearing his prayer once a person has come to the recognition of evil called Esav. This is the meaning of what is written, and Esav went and took Mahalat, the daughter of Ishmael. Went means to a higher degree. Once he has come to the recognition of evil, called Esav.
El
Ishmael.
To Ishmael.
Meaning the Lord will hear. That is, at that time he engaged in the form of do good, praying to the Creator to hear his prayer and give him a soul, as it is said in the Zohar. This is the meaning of he took machalat, meaning he took the absolution of iniquities by which he was rewarded with a daughter from which the Creator heard his prayer. This is called the daughter of Yishmael. The Lord will hear.
Yishmael.
According to what Baal HaSulam explained, that Guru means Torah, and bride means faith. We should interpret what we asked. Until a person acquires permanent faith, he has a sense and a sense. Since a person is born with a vessel of reception, and that vessel wants to engage in things that the mind says are worthwhile to engage in, meaning they will benefit the will to receive for oneself. Otherwise, he cannot work. Also, since faith is above reason, meaning that the reason cannot stand them, there is a matter of ups and downs here. This is called a dance. Since we see that when dancing we lift our legs and bring them back down repeatedly, This implies that since raglaim, legs, come from the word meraglim, spies, meaning that when one should take upon himself the burden of the kingdom of heaven and serve him only lishma for her sake, the person's intellect immediately comes and makes him see that he should not be rash, but first see if it is worthwhile to serve the Creator, not in order to receive reward. Therefore, when lifting legs, meaning when we go above our reason and intellect, it is regarded as lifting our legs above the earth. However, a person cannot always overcome and go above reason. And this is considered placing one's feet on the ground once more. This is the meaning of what he says, how to dance before the bride. Before the bride means during the ascent called panim, face. What should he say about the bride? What is the merit that he has found in faith? Meaning, what did he see in it that we should say that this is why he took upon himself the burden of faith? Beit Shammai say, a bride the way she is, meaning that according to how he feels her importance, so he takes upon himself the faith. That is, he does not need to find any merit in her. Even if he feels no importance about her, he takes upon himself what we were told to believe. And this is all of our merit. If we can take upon ourselves this work, which we believe is the Creator's will, and we need not look for any merits, but simply believe and take upon ourselves by coercion, as an ox to the burden and as a donkey to the load. Bet Hillel say, a bride fair and pious. We should interpret that this means that a person should say about what he sees, they have eyes and do not see. And considering what he hears, we should say they have ears and do not hear. That is, seeing is not necessarily with the eyes, but there is seeing in the mind. That is, the mind shows him depictions that contradict faith. And he often hears what the mind makes him see. That work for the sake of the Creator is not for him. He should overcome all this and say, they have eyes and do not see. That is, what the mind tells him and makes him see is not the truth. This is called, they have eyes and do not see the truth. They have ears and do not hear the truth. Therefore, their thoughts, Meaning, what the will to receive for himself tells him is not the truth. Rather, he should tell himself that indeed she is a fair and pious bride. Except he is unfit to see the truth right now. Yet, the truth is that all the delight and pleasure that the will to receive can receive in his vessels is but a slim light compared to the light that dresses in the vessels of bestowal. This is called a fair bride. Yet, a person cannot always overcome his mind and reason. This is why there is the matter of dances in faith, of which our sages said, how to dance before the bride? That is, what can we say to the panim, the face of the bride, since panim pertains to a man's wisdom, illuminates his face? Thus he should say, what is the praise that there is in the bride called faith? This is the difference between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel. Whether to say a bride the way she is, or a bride fair and pious. According to the above, the Creator is called groom because he is the giver and bestows upon the lower ones. The creature's enjoyment from the joy he gives them, and as was said, that the whole world enjoys comes from him. All the pleasures are called meal. It follows that the whole world is enjoying the king's meal.
However,
there is a difference from the perspective of the lower ones. There are lower ones who believe that this is a meal that comes from the king. And there are secular people who do not believe that the meal comes from the Creator, who is called King. With regard to his being the giver, he is called a groom. This is, as our sages said, one who enjoys a groom's meal and does not delight him transgresses five voices. That is, although they believe that the meal is a groom's meal and thank him for their pleasure, there is still a higher level, meaning that by enjoying, they should delight the king. According to the above, that the Creator is called groom, how can we speak of delighting the Creator? It is known that joy comes as a result of something. When a person obtains something new that he yearned for and received it, it engenders joy in a person. But what can we say that the Creator is missing, that if he receives it, he will be happy? The Zohar says, there was no joy before the Creator since the day the world was created, like the joy he is destined to have with the righteous in the future. We should also understand this verse. How can it be said that the Creator receives the light? As we learn, the purpose of creation is to do good to His creations. It follows that when the lower ones receive the delight and pleasure that He has prepared for them, He derives pleasure from this, as it is known from the allegory about the king who has a tower filled with abundance but no guests. Therefore, we attribute the meal to the Creator as a groom, that He is regarded as the Torah, a gift. Nachliel, rivers of God. When the creatures receive the delight and pleasure called meal, they must receive everything in order to bestow, and not because of self-reception. This is the meaning of what our sages said, one who enjoys a groom's meal and does not delight him, but receives for his own sake, transgresses five voices. The five voices imply the completeness of the degree that must be revealed to the creatures. That is, his will to do good to his creations is revealed in five discernments called five parts of the soul, which are Nefesh, Ruach, Neshama, Chaya, and Yechida. This is why our sages said, one who enjoys a groom's meal and does not delight him, meaning his intention in enjoying the meal is not to please the Creator, in that the purpose of creation is achieved in its complete correction, but rather his own benefit. Then he causes five voices, meaning Neran Chai, that should be revealed to move away from him. Since there was restriction on the vessels of reception for himself, thus the light does not extend to that place. And that place requires correction in order to bestow. Yet, he does not regard it, and therefore causes the abundance not to reach the lower ones. It therefore follows that our sages warn us that we must prepare ourselves with much work and labor to one. Believe that any pleasure we receive in the world is regarded as the king's meal. However, we must believe this, and because of it, our sages have set up a specific blessing for each and every pleasure. A blessing for the prayer, a blessing for the Torah, and also for corporeal pleasures. We must try to receive any pleasure that we receive from the king's meal in order to bestow and not for our own sake. Conversely, when the Creator bestows upon the lower ones as a bribe, which is faith, it is still not regarded as a meal, but rather there are ups and down here. This is why there are dances here.
Yes, Dudi.
I wanted to ask, during the day, every 10 makes a preparation for the next day and reads an article as a preparation. What is the right thing for us to read for tomorrow as a preparation for the lesson? Should we read Rabash or from the introduction to the Book of Zohar that we started today?
We started the introduction to the Book of Zohar. Now the question is, in which articles are we in general? We finished all the articles.
We finished what articles? Of Rabash or Baal HaSulam?
Yes.
We have about another 40 Rabash articles.
Oh, we do?
Part of them will be about Purim and Passover that we're going to read in the next month.
No, I don't talk about the
Well, I'm not talking about the holidays, because toward the holidays we have to renew things. So see for yourselves how much time we have until the holiday and how much material there is for it, and divide it this way and see from when.
That's it.
Tomorrow in the lesson, we'll start in the introduction to the Book of Zohar as we did today. Then we'll read a Rabash article. Another one of the articles that we haven't read yet in this current turnaround.
Yes. Okay.
During the day, when a 10 has, let's say, a half an hour to sit and read an article to prepare for the next lesson, what should they read? The introduction of Baal HaSulam or the Rabash article? What's more right? What'll prepare us better for the lesson?
I think the introduction of Baal HaSulam.
So what preparation in general, I'm asking now. What preparation should we, the whole world, Kli, do in order to receive more from the Rav in the lessons, that you'll be able to open more?
It's only the connection between us. I don't have anything else to do. We talked about all kinds of states. We learned these things. Now, from the introductions of Rabash and Baal HaSulam especially, we will come. We'll advance to faith above reason.
The introduction by Baal HaSulam, it's like a bridge. It's like a renewing towards something new and great. What is special in our time? Towards what corrections are we going to?
We are in the period of corrections, truly corrections. And here we have Purim, Pesach, Passover. This whole period is a very, it's a blessed period. That's it.
So what should be our emphasis on this time?
We should place emphasis, as we learn now, in what way our Kli should be, our vessel, in order to receive directly from the study, from the Creator, the bestowal or the influence.